Welcome to Sunday Morning. 50 years ago, a group of local parents and teachers came together, determined to make music lessons and performances accessible to everyone on the South Shore. And it's still thriving. The South Shore Conservatory is now the largest community school for the arts in Massachusetts and among the top 20 in the country, nestled in lovely Conservatory Park, with more than three floors of beautiful studio and performance space, as well as an amphitheater with a state-of-the-art design. With so many arts and music programs being cut even before COVID, it's no wonder this gem is so important. So I wanted to check in with their music director, Elijah Langill, to see how they were faring these past 9 months and how they're responding to the changes. Good morning, Elijah.
Well, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. And yourself?
Hey, you know, I am chugging along, staying optimistic, and doing the best that I can as circumstances have us in.
Oh, my goodness, I know. That's what we all have to say. So good for you. You know, I have to ask, did you have any idea when coronavirus broke that we'd be in it for so long?
You know, it was really a wild scenario. We started talking about, well, in the fall, you know, we'll be back to business as normal. And it just, we had no idea. It was really a curveball for all different types of programs. I don't care if you're in the arts or whatever, you know, you just couldn't tell what the future is. You still can't tell exactly what the future holds.
Right. And we will talk about what's changed and what you're doing. But curiosity, tell me, what does the music director do?
Well, my job at the South Shore Conservatory is I'm all things orchestra. That's my corner of our school. I don't have my own office, but no, but it is my corner of the building. So I take care of our three orchestras in our orchestral program, which has been growing over the past few years. We have our symphony orchestra, which is our largest orchestra, and it's also for our high school kids, our repertory orchestra for our middle school kids, and our harmony orchestra for our elementary aged kids. And anything having to do with the orchestral program at the South Shore Conservatory, that's my business.
Well, that's wonderful. But how has the pandemic impacted your position there? I mean, how have you reinvented your position and yourself?
Well,
maybe you haven't had to. I don't know.
No. Hey, I feel like I'm reinventing myself every time I wake up and look in the mirror in the morning. It's first off, let me say it can feel really scary, and I'm sure that's the same for everybody, right? We're not exactly sure how to move forward. Our jobs suddenly change, mm-hmm. and new demands are had for us. But it also is a really interesting time because it forces us to reflect. About what are we doing as a program, as an organization, and how can we find creative solutions? And how can we then put that onto our kids and have them have creative opportunities, things that we couldn't see before? So suddenly my job turned into uber brainstorming with my team and the other administration at the South Shore Conservatory. And it was really, okay, throw things on a wall and see what sticks. And let's try to see what we can do to keep our students learning, engaged, and also What are the new needs that we need to start addressing for our kids? So, for instance, I'm sure you or your listeners have definitely seen scrolling on Facebook or something, all those videos or all those old concert videos. Suddenly, I found myself on YouTube Academy trying to figure out how to mix sound and do those things. And let me tell you, I'm really horrible at it. So I learned really quickly that, well, if you don't know something, you need to ask for help. So luckily, we have a more of an in-house sound engineer and a videographer, Jeff Largen from Mixology Studios. And he's been helping me, teaching me, but also doing a lot of our mixing for some of our video projects that we've been working on, because we can't meet in a concert hall. We can't put everyone in one room.
Right. That's been an issue for a lot of things. So are all performances, or maybe you're not even having any, but any that you do have, are they all virtual?
Yeah. So our fall, it's really going to be more of our winter our winter performance will be virtual. The way we're doing it and the way I've designed it is we have one piece that was arranged by our artistic advisor, Stephen Caridianis
Stephen.
Wonderful guy. Yeah, he's been our artistic advisor since the beginning of the program, since its inception, and he's really become a dear friend and mentor to me. Mm-hmm. He's he's always, I can call him at any time. Mm-hmm. He's heard from me a lot over the summer. We brainstormed together because he's dealing with the same issues in his circles. And he's been so helpful. And so, you know, like I said, he's arranged this arrangement of Ave Verum Corpus, the Mozart, for all three of our orchestras. My biggest aim is that we need to work smarter, not harder. And if we can get all of our kids playing some of the same music, which is really a challenge in of its own, and record it together, we can still offer these really high quality, exciting opportunities. And let me just say, the kids are just happy to play. And happy to play together. And the cool thing is, we can mix the sound. We can make it in such a way that these our students and their families will have these recordings for forever. So right now we're working on the Ave Verum, but we're also working on a piece called Holiday Celebration, just to get us in gear for the holidays right before the Christmas or the holiday break. So mm-hmm. that's something that students will have.
Yes. Well, on a side note, when you see Stephen next, please give him my regards. He's such a lovely man.
I will. He is.
So tell me, when did you know that you wanted music to be your life's work?
So I grew up in the Salvation Army. My mom is a music teacher in the Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. So when I was very young, she started a program in Plymouth called the Music Mentoring Program. And the Music Mentoring Program gave students, regardless of ability or age, free music lessons, and adults, students and adults. So I instantly became a teacher. I was in middle school, and I remember my very first teacher was an 86-year-old man named Leroy, and he wanted to learn the snare drum, and I, God willing, I taught him the snare drum. And that was really my first voyage, kind of thrown into the frying pan by my mom, to say, this knowledge, and this knowledge other people want and inspires them to be better. So you have to give it. It's part of your life to share your gifts. And that really inspired me to want to become a music teacher myself. For orchestra, when I went to Gordon College, I'd never actually played in an orchestra before. It was never had I ever. Mm-hmm. We just didn't have it in Plymouth really growing up that much. And I remember being in my first orchestra rehearsal with Maestro Bruce Hangin. He's a Boston-based conductor, and I was terrified. We're playing Sibelius' Second Symphony, and I held on to this score. I printed the whole score. I think it was even on single-sided because I didn't even know how to use the printer at the time. So this thing is like thicker than a Bible. And I go and I sit down, and he starts conducting, and I was just transported. I'm looking at the page. I'm looking at this sound. And then playing in the orchestra, my part was so integral. It was amazing. And at that moment I said, you know what? I want to try this thing called orchestra, mm-hmm. and I want to see what it's all about. And maybe I want to pick up a little stick and see what I can do with it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, as Kiki D used to say, I got the music in me. You got the music in you.
That's it. That's it. It's as simple as that.
So tell me, how open or closed is the campus now? How is it operating?
Yeah, the conservatory has done a really great job in working out their high flex model. So every student has an opportunity to choose what best fits for them. So if a student and a family feels more comfortable being fully virtual, that is totally fine. If they want a hybrid, a mix of virtual or an in-person, they can do that. Or if they want to try to do the in-person, they can do that. It obviously does depend on your instrument, what you play, wind instrument versus voice. But there also has been huge investments done on the campuses, whether that's been faster Wi-Fi and other internet things, or different computing systems or microphones, but even tents that we put outside. Every room has air scrubbers. The conservatory has made a huge effort in making sure the campus is clean, safe, and spaced out. So for my side of things, being a large ensemble, it's actually funny. We have never in our history, as the orchestra department, We've never actually rehearsed in our buildings. We're usually at Marchfield High School because we're too big. We're too big to fit. So, but this year we couldn't go to Marchfield, obviously. And but now there was a space for us and thanks to Beth Largent, she really helped us figure that out. We were able to meet at the Duxbury campus, SC Duxbury campus, because we had to meet in small groups and have a hybrid model and have kids come. So we suddenly had smaller groups meeting while other kids were joining our rehearsals via Zoom, so they could follow along, and kids would be A group, C group, B group, all things like that. We had different rooms. And it's provided a really interesting mix. Now, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I wish COVID wasn't a thing and I could just be with all my orchestra at once. Sure. Let's not say that this is somehow magical. But what it does offer is a more intimate opportunity to meet with our kids. So suddenly, I have more time or have more computing processing in my ears to be able to spend more time with maybe one of my cellists, or maybe to work on something that I would have to gloss over before, just because we're taking a more focused approach. It's really amazing to do that. And actually it builds some deeper relationship connections with our students, which is so, so, so important right now. Sometimes I feel during this pandemic, my job right now is more as a encourager and a mentor to our students, and just to say that, hey, how are you? You know, I'm here for you. And then, okay, let's play some music and let's work through that. Because they're really going through a lot.
Yes, that is true. It's so great that they still have the conservatory. Tell me about, I'm assuming that you teach instruments as well as, you know, deal with the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Do you teach?
Well, just, you know, hand it to me and let's go. Let's figure it out. No, so in the orchestra department, we're dealing with a whole range of things, you know, from bassoon to oboe to violin, cello, anything that we work with. In fact, we've even been incorporating some of our guitarists from our guitar department, because you know what? This is a year to share, and let's do this. So we've been arranging guitar parts for some of our orchestral things and, you know, our harp parts. So, you know, anything instrumental we can see. We can even have saxophones playing in some of our ensembles, because why not? You know, I'll take my frame of reference is that whoever wants to make music and wants to make sound should have the opportunity to do so. And does that mean that if a kid wants to play saxophone in my orchestra, but there's no saxophone part, well, we're going to write a saxophone part, darn it. And we're going to figure it out. And you know what? I've had more saxophones play more in tune than half of my horn section before. So you know what? It works out pretty well. You know, and the cool thing about the conservatory, it just makes it so unique, is that we have so many resources in house. Mm-hmm. So every year, we usually have a collaboration with our ballet department, Susie Guthrow, who runs that. And our kids get to accompany an original performance that Susie writes based upon the music that we select, get to perform and accompany a ballet. And, you know, so we play music and there's choreography, and the kids, I don't know any other program that has their own ballet, and the kids love it because now they get to visually see the music come to life. You know, and that's so exciting. It's exciting for me, and it's a new project. It's this collaboration that we get to do in house, and we can do that with some of our soloist singers or, you know, some of our choral programs. We also can we reach out to some of, you know, our jazz department and things like that. And even better, we can reach out to Eve Montague and the amazing work that she does with some of our students who have intellectual disabilities or some of our adult learners, and how it's the lens is who are we not servicing? Who are the groups that don't normally get to work together, and how can we make avenues for collaboration? Because that is where kids can be pushed creatively, critically, responsively, and they can just broaden their horizons. And that's what I believe an orchestra program and a conservatory should be focused on. How can we utilize all the resources and all the faces and all the personalities in our community?
My goodness, I can just feel your passion and your excitement. These kids are so lucky to have you.
Oh, well, stop. They probably wouldn't say that. Say, geez, can you tell him to shut up?
Nah, you're dreaming. So I know that the conservatory in the past has provided, well, of course, used to do private lessons, and they were group classes. Just looking at a few things, Music Together Online, that was a program you guys had.
And yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. And Creative Arts Therapies, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, you know, it's it's tough. You know, some of those action words like together and things like that, collaborative or things like that, are scary words right now, because anything together is, oh no. But the conservatory is really running on all cylinders, and they're able to, we have such wonderful staff to pivot in and to reimagine some of these tried and true programs, you know, music together, bringing all different families together with, you know, in different backgrounds together to be able to make music, construct music. And maybe that has a digital or a online component. And it does right now. You know, that's how we bring people together. Or maybe then we are looking to get in small groups safely with our air scrubbers in our larger halls. It's, you know, these programs are really focusing on what can we do to bring people together safely, but also bring people together comfortably within their own comfort zone. Because kids, students, adults, I don't care what age group you are, you can't express yourself creatively if you don't feel comfortable. And that's so, that's just the fact of the matter. So we need to gauge and try to service as many of our families in that way, and but still try to mix them so they get to have that that social aspect.
So I understand the conservatory, and we may have mentioned this, I don't think we did. They have two campuses, one's in Hingham and one's in Duxbury. And I read that they were supposed to have reopened this past fall. I don't know, did that happen, or you're just, you know, going about your business as best you can with it semi-open? I don't know.
No, we are open, and people are there. So we have our pre-K program and our you know, our little young kids up in the Hingham campus, they're meeting safely every single day.
Great.
And we still have lessons. We opened up in the fall. Now, the conservatory over the summer, we're doing a lot of processing and creative solutions here. And you know what I appreciate about the conservatory is they really listened to their community members and their parents to say what they felt was safe and to do things safely first. So it wasn't just pedal to the metal, open up, we'll see where it goes. It was, okay, let's get these outdoor spaces going. We have our wonderful amphitheater, which is a huge bonus. We set up tents out in our areas, in Duxbury. We have a little playground area, and it was, okay, let's do these things safely. So we were open right in the fall. Mm-hmm. The orchestra, we had a couple rehearsals totally virtually first, and then we incorporated that. But even when we started incorporating students together, we did so in very small groups so that we could troubleshoot as we went along and figure that out. And the conservatory is nice because it's nimble enough to be able to do that. So yes, we do have the Duxbury campus. That's where I operate out of mostly. Mm-hmm. But once in a while, I take the hike up to Hingham, and that's just such a beautiful campus. There's so much. It's a cool building too. I'm a big fan of this old house and things like that. So it's just kind of cool to see the old building mixed in with this new building, and it's a beautiful campus.
Well, we mentioned earlier, you know, you mentioned the high flex model and the hybrid model. Those are some different ways that you are following through with your instruction. And you said the wind instruments are on the amphitheater stage. These are just some of the ways that the conservatory has adapted and moved forward. And I think it's fabulous. I noticed that the rock band is on the amphitheater stage, had to move to larger spaces. You would think there's a lot of jumping around with a rock band, right?
Oh, they're awesome. They rock. I mean, no pun intended, but they're awesome. It's actually, I've been meaning to reach out to them because I want to do something with the orchestra and the rock band. Now that would be cool. I mean, come on, we could, no pun intended again, rock the house down on an amphitheater, because, you know, I'd feel like Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops, you know, it'd be awesome. Don't get me started on it. We'll be here all day, but yeah, you know, it's difficult with singers, as we're trying to understand, you know, there's new studies coming out as we understand this virus a little bit more, but like I said, the conservatory has played it safe. So the rock band and anything that's more vocal has transitioned to the outside. You know, we've just started to bring some of our wind players indoors, but that's with bell covers, things that cover up their the bells of their instruments, with modified face masks, 10 feet apart, and you know, with those air scrubbers indoors going. So you know, as we understand a little bit more that we can bring some of our trumpet players and some of our clarinet players indoors, we're also understanding that we have this great space that's the amphitheater. We have this beautiful campus. Let's use it. And if, like I said, if you haven't heard our rock band, they're they're pretty amazing.
Oh, I'd love to. Now, I'm big into rock, so I definitely will check that out. Might they be heard online somewhere, or how would we hear them? Through a virtual performance, I guess?
Yeah, well, that's it, right? It's funny. It brings me back to what I said in the beginning. You know, right when everything happened in February, suddenly I said, okay, well, I'm going to do a digital concert. I'm going to figure this out. And I was having my kids record things on their iPhones and everything else. And then I had all these sound files and I'm trying to mix the sound, and it gave me a whole new appreciation for sound engineers, man. Let me tell you, this stuff is, this is hard. And it came out so bad.
Oh, I bet it wasn't.
But it wasn't the kids' fault. It was me saying, how do I do this? And trying to use GarageBand. So it's what I've been amazed is I've seen our students, our faculty come together and really craft these virtual performances, you know, a couple minutes long, or, you know, these selections of what they're doing. And it comes out really, really beautiful, but it takes time. It's amazing. You know, two or three minutes of a virtual concert takes hours and hours, 20 plus hours to put these things together. So, you know, we're chugging along with them at full speed. And you know what? Maybe a concert, a virtual portion of a concert, it doesn't look like our classic 1 hour performance. Maybe it's only going to be a few minutes, but that's okay, because we can do things in a shorter scope, but do it high quality with high fidelity and with, an opportunity for kids to have the experiences that really push them creatively.
Well, I know you've said we have the instruments, we have the voicing, the choral, the singing. You did mention ballet as well, but there is dance instruction, as far as I know, that I've read about online. And so aside from instrumentation and voice, what else is concentric to the music program? Anything else that you would label the arts?
Well, you know, where the amazing thing about the conservatory, and if we look at the conservatory's history, is that its job, although it's grown to be such a professional organization, but it is exactly what it set out to do, mm-hmm. you know, 50 years ago, and that's serve the community.
Right.
Bring the community together into the space, whether it's listening to a concert, whether it's educating its children, it's saying, where is there a need for the arts, and how do we meet that need? The reason why I say that is because of our winter project that the orchestra will be working on after January. We're going to do a digital art show with Inky Hands Print Studio in Plymouth with the wonderful artist Catherine Libretto. She has her series that she created called Nocturne. Beautiful, beautiful work. I actually have one hanging up on my wall. Mm-hmm. What she's going to do is she's going to scan some of these works that she's done, and we're going to put it to music by a wonderful piece called Appalachian Morning.
Oh, I love that!
Yes. And we're going to show her work, and we're going to present her work, so that this is a tough time for her too. And you know, her art gallery is on Main Street, Plymouth. It's a beautiful, beautiful shop, but you know, people aren't going out and doing some of those things anymore, or they're not, you know. So it's hard for artists to just get their voices be heard. So we need to start working together. Catherine doesn't work for the conservatory, mm-hmm. but you know what? We can. That's our job as the conservatory, to reach into these communities and look at all the resources that we have. So she's going to be working with our kids too to talk about her artistic process, why she created this work, how she created this work, and then she's also going to be working with me and looking at the music and the score to say, okay, what piece, what area of the piece works for this portrait, or what area of the piece works for this print here, and then we're going to talk about that process with the kids, so they can see how everything works together, and they'll ask her questions and she'll ask them questions. And that's what I'm talking about with creativity, mm-hmm. during this time. Normally we wouldn't even do that. Mm-hmm. Our concert this fall that we're going to be presenting right before the holiday break, we have members of the Southeastern Philharmonic, the North River Brass Quintet, the New Bedford High School Chamber Orchestra, and we have all three of our orchestras together. We wouldn't be able to fit all those people in one room. It would never work. But because they can join us digitally, and because mm-hmm. they're sending in their recordings, and because they're connecting with our students online during live rehearsals, and some of them are joining us as mentors, we have this huge community response. We have adults, intergenerational learning that's taking place. So all of the members of our community are coming together to put on the concert. you know? So it's amazing. It's going again back to our roots and saying we're a community. We're pulling our community together and we're making music.
And you've said community so many times, which is wonderful. Is that what Wednesday Evening Voices is all about? Do you still do that?
Yeah, you know, I to be perfectly honest with you, I have to double check about Wednesday Evening Voices.
But what I do know, I
don't want to get in trouble after.
We won't tell.
What I do know is that they're connecting with their members. They're still advertising for it, and they're bringing people together as safely as possible.
Sure.
So again, they're working on these projects. You know, whether it's meeting over Zoom and then how do we do these, you know, how do we have people still making music, still singing, and trying to think creatively, what does that look like going forward? Whether we do start singing and playing outside. The great thing about Community Voices is that's just it. It's bringing all voices together. You know,
yes.
I can't tell you how many times, and it makes me so upset that people come to me and say, oh no, I don't sing. I don't sing. I'm just not able to do that. Well, it breaks my heart because at some point in their life, someone told them that.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, no, you don't. That's not for you. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's the most human thing we can do is to lift our voices together. It's the thing that's made this whole situation so hard. You know, I'm the organist at Christ Church from Plymouth across the street from Cartmel Funeral
mm-hmm.
Home. And the thing I love about playing there so much is that it's a whole group of people coming together and lifting their voices and, you know, in joy. And that's exactly why we need to keep singing. So it's hard right now. We can't do it the way we want to do it right now. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to boil it down and sing together mm-hmm. as best we can online or in safe, small groups.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to really appreciate each and every note so that when we can come together, it will be so, so joyful. And everyone can be there.
Well, you know, you just answered my last question, which was going to be, because we only have a few more minutes, how important is it that we not let go of music? You just answered that beautifully and eloquently, so thank you.
It's so important.
Yes. Before we give out website information, is there anything, you know, you wanted to get out there in our last minute or so?
Yeah, I think my closing remark is that the South Shore Conservatory is your conservatory. It's Duxbury, it's Marshfield, it's Hingham's, it's Plymouth. It's the South Shore's conservatory. And that means that we need to come together to think creatively, to think responsibly, and to make it so that every child, every adult, every level of learner has the opportunity to explore and to create music and the arts. That's just, we have to do it because it's just so important to our humanity.
Mm-hmm. Perfectly stated. So check out the South Shore Conservatory online at sscmusic.org. And let them put a little music in your life. I think we need it now more than ever, as you say. Elijah, it was a pleasure talking with you. And again, that's sscmusic.org. Let's keep the music playing and going and listening and singing, right?
We're going to do it. It's going to be great. Looking forward to hearing all your voices.
Excellent. Thank you, Elijah. Have a great day.
Bye. You too.